This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 16, 2018, the 16th Sunday after Trinity, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
The Lord is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint. Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips silent. Sin against thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to have a determination? And what is the trigger that manifests determination in us? I could say I am determined to do something, but in reality, I may not really feel determined at all. In reality, I may only want or desire something, but won't put forth the effort to demonstrate that I am really determined. We define the word determined as having made a firm decision and being resolved not to change it. I am sure most of us can agree that there are degrees of commitment that we weigh when we use the word determined. A young child can be determined to get an A in a class, but are they determined to put in the hours necessary to study, to complete their assignments on time, and to do them well? What they call determined at the beginning of the semester could quickly be changed into a feeling of, I would like to have an A, when friends come over, or video games beckon their name, or their cell phone goes off, or they become tired. Who remembers the name Derek Redman? For most, this name doesn't even ring a bell, and it's a name destined to go into obscurity through the passing of time. Derek Redman looked like all normal boys. He was born in the 60s, and he quickly learned he had athletic ability. He began to try running, and he began to see that he was blessed with speed. Throughout his life, he was plagued by injuries, but when he was healthy, he could really run. He spent his athletic career having ups and downs, some wins, some losses, all due to those injuries. But one day, he started to succeed a lot. He eventually was selected to participate on the Olympic team for his country. But unfortunately for him, during his race, he had a hamstring pull and he fell flat on his face. He received a did not finish. Yet many people still remember him. For you see, it was during that race at Barcelona in 92, he pulled that hamstring and fell flat on his face. But he pulled himself up. And as he was writhing in pain, he started to hobble towards the finish line. Everyone in the crowd started to stand. Everyone started to cheer. They began to cheer him on because of his determination. So much so that his father was moved and he ran down from the stands, jumped onto the track, and helped him limp across the finish line. Because he received outside assistance, he was disqualified. He was writhing in pain and crying in his injuries as he leaned on his father right when he crossed. But from that moment on, that video of that final race and his story has touched countless lives because it demonstrated determination in the face of adversity. Now, our reading today is from Isaiah. It is later in the book after the people have been exiled to Babylon. They were defeated. They had lost hope, and for them there was no more story to tell. There was no more prophecies to be had. They had lost everything. But had they? Isaiah is instructed to give them a series of new prophecies. This particular section tells the people of God, or Israel, that God will send a deliverer. And this wouldn't be any ordinary deliverer. He would not be a king like all the ones that failed before. He would be determined, determined to save the people no matter the cost, even if the cost was his own life. We like to call it part of the suffering servant chapters because it so clearly illustrates our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the words that he spoke, the words of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ himself. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. This is an example of his life. These are his words from centuries before it happened. When God spoke to Isaiah, he said, I will deliver my people, and this is what I will endure on their behalf. He had visited earth before. He had spoken with Abraham. He had wrestled with Jacob. He had given encouragement to Joshua. He even went into the furnace with Daniel's companions. But each time he knew about his eventual passion, each time he knew he would be rejected by men. But he did not falter. He did not turn back. He stayed the course. And at the time appointed by the Father, he stepped from his throne and was born of a woman. He left the choir of angels to hear the baying of cattle. He traded the smell of incense for the smell of animal filth, and he did it with one purpose in mind, that was the redemption of all mankind. First, I want you to look at the words, "I set my face like flint." This is a weird saying, and most of us would not describe our physical attributes that way. Yet here's our Lord saying, "His face is like flint." What does he mean by that? Now, as we know, flint is a very coarse and hard sedimentary rock. And when it comes against steel, it doesn't break, but instead creates a spark, often used to create a fire. And our Lord's face was like flint because he did not bend or break, despite coming against the steel of the world. Think about the opposition he faced. Think about the scores of people praising his name and desiring to make him king. The Pharisees at times were afraid to confront him. They avoided the opportunity to seize him because everywhere he went, they wanted to set up a temporal kingdom. They wanted to throw off the Romans and set up the glory of Israel. Many men fall into this trap. Many men have started with the greatest of intentions. They even have stated their determination publicly by saying, "This is my purpose." Yet the glory of other men, the temptation of the world pulls them and changes their drive. I would tell others my faith, but I can't at work because it may offend. I would go to Mass, but I have this errand to run. "You don't understand, Father. I live in the world, and sometimes you have to compromise." "You're right. I don't understand. And neither does the King of Kings." You must demonstrate your determination every single day as he did. Or it isn't really determination at all. It's just a pithy saying in order to affect something you would like to have. But this wasn't limited to the world. He was also tempted by the serpent. Lifted high upon the mountain, he was shown all the kingdoms of the earth, the wealth and the prestige, all for his taking. All he had to do was turn aside for just one moment. All he needed to do was let his guard down just once, and it would all be his. But thank God, man does not live by bread alone, and our Lord quickly reminded Satan of that. How often we allow Satan to tempt us? How often do we just say, "It's only one sin"? We say we are determined to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, but when the feast of the tempter is set before us, we quickly shove our faces full of his poison. "I am sorry for my sin. It was just a little white lie. I wish I didn't do this, but it's just a habit. God loves me." Well, you are correct in that he loves you and desires your repentance, but he doesn't accept your fence riding. He calls men and women to be determined. He calls you to have will, to set your face like flint. And he does not honor or look over your willingness to switch teams every time you are enticed. You aren't a spiritual free agent. You have signed the contract. It is time to show up for the game. The contract was signed in the blood of Christ, and there could be no rescinding it. If you have found a sin that has a stranglehold on your life, set your determination today to cast it aside and follow him. We also see that determination, though challenged, in his closest relationships. Our reading today shows Peter trying to dissuade him from fulfilling his passion. Oh, the heart of the apostle. It was always so large for Jesus, yet it didn't compare to the size of his mouth. He often spoke and acted with the speed of a sprinter, never thinking through the commitment needed for such a proclamation. And this is the trait of all of us who proclaim the name of Christ. We say our vows. We pledge to believe. And then as quickly as we follow, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." The temptations of the world, the threat of persecution, the trials of life, all pull us aside and we begin to think like men instead of the adopted children of God that we are. Thank God, even though he came unto his own and his own received him not, he still stayed the course. He still ran the race. His face was like flint. Ask yourself this question today. If I bought a gift for somebody and they seemed ungrateful or worse, despised me for it, would I be willing to do it again? You better believe I would not. Would you stand there holding your gift and say, "Please, take it"? Of course not. But every breath you take in rebellion against your king awaits your answer to accept his free gift. Every time you pull the beard, spit and curse, beat his back, he says, "I'm not disgraced. I offer this free gift of life. You just have to be determined enough to receive it. Finally, I want you to understand this commitment is not ambiguous. It does not only go out to a few. It is a call given to anyone who proclaims the name of Jesus Christ. It is a call that requires determination. We do not have the luxury of saying, I will follow him, and then forgetting it. We are to take our hand off the plow. We are to have others bury our fathers. We are to take up the cross and follow him. We cannot say it's just one sin. We cannot forget we are told to love him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our minds. We cannot be unsteady. We cannot be capricious. And we cannot stand with our face blushing with our own sins while his is set like flint. We must say, I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works and go into all the world doing so. That way others can know him. Remember the determination that God had to save you before the foundation of the world, before he even started to say, let there be light. Remember what he gave up for you. Remember how he stood fast when his enemies, when his friends, and even Satan himself tried to turn him aside. But most of all, remember, he calls you to do the same. Like flint that hits against steel and creates a spark, a life that is determined to follow in the footsteps of Christ will set up a spark that cannot be extinguished by the gates of hell itself. The Lord God opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. Let that be your motto, and go and be like Christ in the world. Amen.